WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. New developments in the investigation of the Lion Air crash in Indonesia involving the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. Brian Summers is aviation business editor for skiff.com and is with us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, let's begin with the 737 MAX investigation. Some new details. What has transpired since the last time we spoke?
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting last couple of weeks, Steve. I didn't think this was going to be such a huge deal when this airplane crashed on October 29th, but it has turned into one. People may remember investigators have a basic idea of what they think happened. The airplane may have thought that it was in a stall, but it was not in a stall. There may have been a problem with this sensor called the angle of attack sensor. This is a very updated new airplane from Boeing. It's only been around a couple of years. And the airplane had this system that basically pushed the nose down automatically to keep the airplane from stalling. The problem is that pilots at Lion Air, and it turns out at other airlines too, didn't even know that the airplane had this capability. So the Lion Air pilots apparently didn't know what to do. You know, lots of planes have automated systems. It's 2018. A lot of these systems are frankly meant to ensure that pilots don't make mistakes. There's this basic idea. Sometimes the airplane can be a little bit smarter than humans. You know, American, Southwest, and United all fly these jets. They're familiar with a lot of automated systems. What is really weird, Steve, is that pilots from all three of these U.S. airlines say they didn't know anything about this new system installed on these Boeing 737 MAX jets. So recently, the pilot unions from a couple of those airlines came out and said, we didn't know the airplane that we fly can do this. And I think what's weirder is a couple of the airlines themselves have admitted, you know what? Boeing didn't tell us exactly how the system works. The reason we didn't put it in our manual is because we didn't know about it. So Boeing and the FAA have since tried to correct this. They've issued bulletins to pilots explaining to them what to do. And then earlier this week, United Airlines told its pilots what to do, and I did get a copy of that. Basically, United told pilots that this issue, quote, could cause the flight crew to have difficulty controlling the airplane and lead to excessive nose-down altitude, significant altitude loss, and possible impact with terrain. Possible impact with terrain, of course, is a nice way to say something that's actually a lot worse. You know, I'm not a pilot, but my understanding is that a lot of well-trained pilots would have known what to do instinctively, even though they weren't trained on this system. But it's certainly a lot better that pilots know now the capability of their airplane. This whole system, it raises an interesting question, right? Why didn't pilots know? Why didn't the airlines know? And I think in that case, Boeing is going to have some explaining to do in the coming months. And it's possible they might change something about how the system works. We just don't know.
Brian, this is a relatively new 737 MAX aircraft. With your experience, is this something that happens with new aircraft generally? They have to work out the cobwebs, or is this sort of a unique experience?
Yeah, this next generation Boeing 737 MAX is about 2 years old. Of course, it's a much updated version of an airplane that people have been flying, I think, for about five decades. I'm not certain, but I think that the actual airplane that crashed was only a couple of months old. I know that United, American, and Delta are still taking deliveries of this new airplane. You know, it sounds weird to talk about this when we're talking about a crash, yeah. But airlines tend to love this airplane. It's very fuel efficient. My understanding is that in the cabin, it's pretty quiet, and it's a major step forward technologically. The problem is it might have been too much of a step forward. And you're right, Steve. I mean, throughout history, you have had to work out the kinks of new aircraft. People may remember decades ago, crashes were much more common. Sometimes they were new aircraft. People were learning how to fly them, learning how they handled. It happens a lot less right now. I was certainly surprised by this Lion Air crash, but it still happens.
Brian, another story that you've written this week is about airlines auctioning premium seats. Is this something new? Is this a way for us to get a better upgrade?
Yeah, you know, certainly this is a more fun story. I wrote a story about this company called PlusGrade that helps about 70 airlines worldwide auction off their business class, first class, and premium economy seats, often at the last minute. So, you know, you'll go and you'll fly one of these airlines and you'll probably book on a coach ticket. It could be a very cheap ticket. You might get an email message from the airline. Hey, you know, we're doing an auction. Do you want to bid to fly in business class or premium economy in first class? And you go on the website and you tell them how much money you'll bid for the better seat. And then you wait. You wait until about a couple of days before departure. And by that time, the airline knows, you know, is there some corporate lawyer in Chicago that needs to go to London tomorrow and he's going to pay $8,000 for the ticket? Or is it time to unload these last premium seats at a discount? So the airline will go through the bids. Often they take the most expensive bid, but not always. And they'll reward, you know, 2 to 10 people with what could be a discounted premium seat. I did this recently on a flight from Stockholm to Los Angeles. I was sitting in the economy cabin with my family. I had a feeling that the premium economy section was probably fairly empty because it was the middle of the summer. There weren't too many business class people or business people traveling. And so I bid a very low amount, and lo and behold, I won the auction. And the whole family was sitting in premium economy, so that was nice. One thing that I learned by talking to PlusGrade, though, is that I might have more trouble the next time I bid on a similar ticket, because basically no airline wants you to get too comfortable with the idea that you can always bid a low number and win every time. So even if you ordinarily would have won, even if you have a very strong, if you're on like a 3-flight winning streak, they may make sure that you don't bid. So there's a little bit uncertainty next time, because ideally, right, airlines want people to go to their website and buy the premium ticket in advance. They don't want to train people that you can get a discount in the last minute. But I do highly recommend using this. And if you're somebody like me that likes the thrill of a deal, it's a lot of fun to use.
Brian, it's Thanksgiving time. Any ideas about how busy it's going to be out there, and any advice for those of us who don't travel as much as you do?
Yeah, Steve, it's going to be a big year for travel, but I have to tell you, I just put the finishing touches on a family trip for next week that I'm very excited about. We're going to be braving Los Angeles International Airport at about 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. So Airlines for America, which is the group representing most of the big U.S. airlines, says there are going to be about 30.6 million passengers traveling through U.S. airports between November 16th and November 27th. They tell me this is a 5.7% increase over a year. But frankly, I think people forget about this sometimes. Airlines do most of their best business over the summer, and I don't think that Wednesday is going to feel all that much different than, say, a Friday or a Sunday at Chicago O'Hare, maybe around the July 4th weekend. I mean, there are just a ton of people that want to fly in the summer as well. The trade group says that Sunday is going to be the busiest travel day. That's not much of a surprise. Second busiest travel will be Wednesday, November 21st. And interestingly, the third biggest travel day is actually today. The trade group says that airlines are adding a lot of seats to accommodate passengers. And look, you know, we make this joke a lot. I'm a professional. I think it's going to be okay. For a lot of people that don't fly as much as I do, I understand why it could be a little bit difficult to be at the airline or be at the airport. The rules apply. You should probably be there early. You should probably be patient, and you should hope for really good weather.
All right, Brian, happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Steve. To you as well.
Brian Summers, aviation business editor for Skift.com.